The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. Hey, go ahead and grab a Bible and go with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. I am really thankful to be with you today, and I can feel it in the room. I can feel that we're tired. That's okay. Many of you, like, our minds and bodies think it's 9:30, and I get that. So I'm just going to ask for these next few moments together you to lean in, and that's kind of hard in those chairs when you're leaning back. But lean in with your mind and your heart, and God has something to say to us today through His Word. And I'm gonna need your help a little bit. Don't make me feel like I'm speaking to an empty room. In fact, you know, I just wanted to say this from the outset. I think what you and I are doing this morning is incredibly profound. I was reading this week and came across this quote: "Corporate worship is designed to humble us by pointing out the depth of our need. And at the same time, it is designed to captivate us by pointing us to the glory of God's gracious provision to meet that need." Now, we all walk into this room this morning with 101 different needs: tangible, circumstantial, emotional, physical need. But what's universal about each of us that sit in these chairs or sit in the back or stand on this platform? What's universal is that our greatest need, our deepest need, is to be captivated by the beauty and wonder of who God is, by who we are in Christ and what we possess in Him today. So that's why I really want you to lean in and listen, because where the Spirit of God has access to speak to our mind and heart through the Word of God in the midst of the people of God, God's up to something. He's doing something in our midst. And I'm excited. I'm excited to open up God's Word with you today. Today we wrap up our series that we have been looking at over the past 8 weeks, looking at In the Way of Grace. That's what we've entitled it: to hear the voice of God through His Word. And we've talked about praying that we have access to a God who not only speaks to us, but listens to us. He hears us. He longs for our heart to petition Him with the, as the writer of Hebrews says, to come to Him with our true heart. No pretense, no need for self-justification, that the blood of Jesus has granted us full access into the presence of God, and we can come and be true. We don't have to pretend. And as we've been talking the last few weeks, the significance of belonging to His body, of belonging to a community of people where the truth of Christ and the ways of Christ are at the heart of what we're seeking to become and how we're seeking to live. This is our prayer for Summit. Like, if you want to know what the elders of Summit continually pray for over you and your family, it is these things. These are the things that we're praying for you. And so this morning, as we wrap up, what I want to do is I want to continue to listen to the voice of God through His Word and allow us to see the significance of belonging to His bride, the church. What does it mean to truly belong? That's what I want to talk about. And what is God up to in your life, my life, our lives, when we belong? And what I want to do, and I feel like I need to give a caveat, because there's guests here this morning. There's some of you that are not, you're not team members. You haven't been connected into the life of our church. And so what I want to give this two caveats this morning. I want to speak very practically, and I want to speak very boldly, yet with compassion, yet with grace. And here's what I mean practically. I want to be clear on what does it mean to belong here at Summit. We've been looking at Romans 12, Hebrews 10, today Ephesians 4, anchoring this notion of why we should belong to a local body. And we're going to continue to tease that out. But I want to end the series talking about what does that mean for us here at Summit. And by boldly, here's what I mean. I want to speak to the people who call Summit home. Now, if you're a guest, I think it's a great day to be here because you're going to hear from our vantage point how we understand the church to be. What is the church? And then I think it'll give you great insight on how we as elders and pastors seek to lead this body. So if you're a guest here, I think this is a valuable day for you in what we're talking about. I'm not speaking to the skeptic of church this morning. That's not who I'm speaking to, right? I'm not going to give you a theological defense on why I think it is you should belong to a local church. But I do want to speak boldly where I think Scripture speaks clearly. And with grace, I want to point you to the Scriptures. And here's where I want you to lean in for a moment. I want to point you to the Scriptures over the next few moments and ask you, do I truly belong to this body? And if it's not this body, do I belong to a body, to a local congregation of believers? And if not, why? And if not, I'm going to give you some next steps that we as elders would lovingly like to call you to take as next steps. So for those of you who truly belong to this body, I think you're going to find this to be an encouraging reminder, and I think it'll serve as a clear motivation on your role as a member of this body to help call other people to belong to this church as well, because it is an all play, and we're going to look at that this morning. Ephesians 4. You know, Scripture often uses imagery and instruction to help us better understand what it is that God is saying. So you'll find places in Scripture where it uses imagery like the body to describe the church. 1 Corinthians 12 is a famous passage, and you've got the makeup here of a physical body with many different parts, but the body is one. There's other places in the New Testament that will describe the church as a flock, right? We are the sheep, he is the shepherd. And it'll go so far in that imagery to say when one sheep strays away from the flock and the care of the shepherd, that sheep is prey to the wolves. Ephesians 2 is going to use imagery like a household to talk about the nature of the church. So we get this imagery language from Scripture that helps us better understand what is it exactly that we are called to as people who belong to the body. But we also get instruction, right? Scripture speaks to actual local congregations. Paul is writing to real churches, not just all believers in all places. He is writing to real churches when he is writing to the churches in Ephesus. And sometimes the instruction that we're given in Scripture is given directly to the elders. Some of your translations may say the overseers. And other times what we'll discover in Scripture is that the instruction is given to the entire congregation. So sometimes it's specifically to the body, it's specific to the leadership, and sometimes it's specific to the entire congregation. And that is at play in Ephesians 4. Instruction for all of us who belong, with specific instruction on how leadership is to lead in the body. And so what I want to do is I want to look specifically at verses 15 and 16 this morning, which are going to reveal the purpose for which we are called to belong to the church. Now, Paul opens this letter to the Ephesians talking about, hey, here's what it means to be in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 2 is some high theological stuff, and it is good. It is jam-packed with good stuff, right? So that's Ephesians 1 and 2. Here's what it means to be in Christ. In chapter 2, he speaks to the unity of the church, and he describes that the church, it's like a building that is being built up, And Christ is the chief cornerstone of that building. And then we come to chapter 4. And what Paul's going to do is he's going to begin to unpack what it looks like to practically live out this unity, this union in Christ. In fact, that's what he says at the beginning of chapter 4. He says the church is one body. And here's why the church is one body. Because there's only one spirit. So he compares it. There's one body. There's one faith. There's one Lord. There's one spirit. And then he begins to describe the level of care and love that God has for his church. Now, that's not just universally. And here's what I mean by that. That's not just all believers, all Christ followers, in all places and all times. He's talking to a specific people gathered in localized communities with one another, living with intentionality and living in consistent interaction with one another. So that synopsis brings us to Ephesians 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 11. Verse 11, Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Here's why he gave that gift of leadership: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the treasure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, each of us speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Listen to me. God cares way too much to leave his church unprotected. To leave his church without safeguard, without accountability, and without direction. He loves his people too much to leave it to itself. So he's given, according to this particular passage, and listen, this isn't just a proof text for what we're talking about. We've looked at other passages that also speak to this nature, to the nature of a belonging, to the nature of why God has entrusted to his church a gift of leadership. And it's pretty clear here that that gift of leadership is plural. It's not singular. It's plural. It's diverse. And it's interdependent. Why is it those things? Well, essentially, it is those things to ensure that the church fulfills the very purpose for which it exists. That's why God loves his church by gifting to his church a gift of leadership. Imperfect, yes. But nonetheless, he's given a gift of leadership with a plurality, with a diversity tied to this unity, impacted by its interdependent nature of how it ultimately fulfills one purpose: to help the body fulfill its intended destiny, its intended purpose. Let me sum it up this way. The purpose for which why God has given a gift of leadership to his church is also the very purpose for why you and I are called to belong to this body. Look back at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me sum it up this way, and I know this isn't great English, but I want to make a point. To be equipped is what he's saying. Why are we called to belong? To be equipped in order that we all might equip one another. Until we are all equipped. Now look at verse 13 and look at that statement and tell me what role you have inside of that. What we do here at Summit, as the gathered people of God, the local church, what we do and how we function matters immensely to God. Because God loves each of his children like a parent loves his child. But perfectly and infinitely, I might add. And so as we talk about the church, here's what I want you to know, regardless of your experience with it. not to minimize your past pain, not to minimize your past experiences. But here's what I want you to know when we talk about the church. It is God's church. It belongs to Him. It's His bride. And it matters. It matters deeply. You being equipped, me being equipped, all of us being equipped is why He's called us to belong. Now, who does the equipping? Well, that's easy. You do, Terry. That's why you're getting paid. Well, it is part of my responsibility. But who does the equipping according to Ephesians 4? You do. I do. We do. That's why we belong. Sure, we have different functions and responsibilities. And I have a unique responsibility. Remington has a unique responsibility. There's other men and women in this congregation who have unique responsibilities, but we all have a responsibility. It's an all play inside God's church. That's what he's saying. And it's not about who has the talent and who doesn't. It's not about who speaks the best or who doesn't. It's not about who speaking connects with me and who doesn't. It's not about who has the best voice or who doesn't. It's not about who you're naturally drawn to or who annoys you. It's not who has the best excuses as to why you can't be a leader and influencer among the body. Summit Church belongs to God. And listen to me, the only reason why you and I are to belong to this body under His leadership is to be equipped so that we might equip others, which is for His mission and glory. That's the only reason. And if it's not here at Summit, that's the only reason for the church down the street or in your sphere of influence that you have been called to belong. Under the leadership of the chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, to be equipped so that you might equip. So Paul keeps pressing this down. Look at verse 15. Rather, he says, speaking the truth in love, we want to grow up. In what way? Every way. Every way. Into Him who is the head, into Christ. Right? So Paul's saying the purpose of our belonging is that we would progressively grow and equip one another in becoming more like Jesus. That you and I would increasingly live and love like Jesus. That's the purpose of belonging. If you hang around someone long enough, you begin to take on the characteristics that they embody, yeah? Right? If you hang around someone, maybe it's you, you start talking like they talk. Maybe they have a particular interest and you hang around them long enough and what you begin to discover is that their interest slides over onto your interest. Maybe you think like they think or you talk like they talk and there's a certain word that they utilize and you grab hold of that word and it's interesting and you start putting it into your vocabulary. It's interesting how we do that. Essentially, we become what we behold. And at some point, you stop emulating that person and you just become like them. Well, that's the idea of what Paul's saying here in this passage. We are God's children. He is our Father. And we bear His characteristics. So as we grow in the knowledge of who He is, we begin to emulate His nature and character. To who? To one another. To our spouses, to our children, to our coworkers, to our friends. We love like He loves. We serve like He serves. We care like He cares. Our purpose as the community, the family of God, is to emulate our chief shepherd, Jesus. And who is Jesus? What is Jesus like? Well, Jesus shows up. Jesus isn't distant. He moves towards, not away. He's patient, He's gentle, He's gracious, He's kind, He's full of truth, but truth and love. He's obedient, He's very serious about sin. He moves towards the offended, the oppressed, and the broken. Our purpose as a church is to emulate Jesus, and if we're going to progressively grow to live and love like Jesus, then it is absolutely imperative that we belong to his body. I'll say it this way. It's impossible to live and love like Jesus while remaining passive, indifferent, distant, and unconcerned about the local body of believers that God has called us to. Impossible. And I'm going to show you why. That's not my idea. Look at verse 16. So we're going to speak the truth in love, he says, verse 15, until we all grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When is it equipped? When is it equipped? When each part is working properly. It then makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, instruction for Paul turns to imagery. So he goes from instruction to imagery, and what he's saying is the church, this progression of belonging is like a body, functions like a body. But you know what Paul says here? He doesn't just say, you are a body or we are a body. He says that we're a body in such a way that's knit together as one that's brought together by ligaments, tissue, muscles, and all kinds of things that I do not understand. Essentially what he says here, it takes all of these things to hold the body together. Yeah? That's his point when he says these words, joined together by every joint with which it is equipped. I don't understand all those details, but here's what I do understand. Everything about our bodies is together. That's what I understand. Now, let me explain it this way. If I want to eat something, which I love to eat, do you think about food? Some of you are thinking about food right now. I love food. I think about food often. Like when I have breakfast, I'm thinking about, what else will I have today? And one of the things that I love is French fries. Who loves some French fries in the room? Oh, it's a weakness. It is a weakness. But here's what I understand about my body. If I want to eat a French fry, if you put fries in front of me, here's what I know. My brain tells my skeletal muscles that they need to contract. Why do they need to contract? So that I can move my hand, pick up a fry, and bring it to my mouth. Now, some of you in the room commit the unpardonable sin by dipping that fry in a Wendy's Frosty. Unpardonable sin. Nonetheless, I bring it to my mouth, which then begins this process. I chew, I swallow, and the fry goes through this process of becoming energy that my brain and my muscles can utilize. So what? So that I can function. Now, if I eat, obviously fries aren't that healthy. Maybe that's a poor analogy. But here's what I know. Everything in my body is connected. It's together. And here's why Paul uses that imagery for us. Because we understand that analogy, right? You understand that there's more going on when somebody puts food before you than you just reaching down and picking it up. There's something integral about every part of your body that's at work in that. Paul says that analogy, which makes sense to us in that degree, is the exact reflection of who we are as the people of God and how we're called to relate to one another. What does it mean to belong, Terry? We are connected. Every part of us is connected. I could make this statement. We desperately need each other. Why do we desperately need each other? Because we are together. But even that statement, we desperately need each other, is often misconstrued. Some of us hear that and go, yep, you're right, but I want to define that on my terms. Some of us may hear that and go, well, I take it or leave it. I hear it as a plea, but I hear it as a plea that's merely an option among all the other options out there. Please hear me. When Paul is writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he assumes that if we belong to Christ, that we are going to belong to one another. That's his assumption. Why? Because we are a body formed by Jesus. We cannot cease to be something that He has made us to be. Each one of us has a vital role to play in equipping this congregation to live and love like Jesus. And to deny that is to deny your very identity. So here's what I want to do for the remainder of our time. I want to talk practically. And in talking practically, I want to give some handles on what this passage, among other passages that we have taught in this series, how it plays out for us here at Summit. What does it mean to belong here? And I'll begin with a question, right? As we consider the call to belong to the local church, I'll begin with this question. Who do you think the elders of Summit are accountable to equip, shepherd, and care for? Now, I just want you to think about that. You don't have to say it out loud. Who in this congregation, Remington over here, elder, I'm an elder currently in this place. Who are we called to shepherd, care for, protect, walk with, and essentially what Ephesians 4 says is to equip? Let me read you this passage of scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:17 puts it this way. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Whoa. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. Who are we responsible for? Is it all of the Christ followers in the world? Is it all of the Christ followers in the upstate of South Carolina? Is it all of the Christ followers in Easley? Or will Remington and I stand before the Lord one day and give an account for the people who belong to this church? But who gets to define who belongs? It's one of the practical reasons why we have team membership here at Summit. Not because we need to have some kind of secret society to see who's in, who's not. Pay your dues. No. We want to know who it is to whom we as a leadership are responsible for. That's one of the reasons why. There's a clear distinction on these are the men and women, these are the families who said, I want to be a part of this body. I don't know if you think about this or if you've ever thought about this, but the people that I give the bulk of my time and energy to, I do have a life, you know, right? And not that you don't think that I don't have a life, but I have a wife and I have 3 children. That's my number one priority. I'm responsible to my wife and my 3 kids. Those are the most important people that God's called me to lead and disciple. Yeah? Do you believe that? Okay. Do you know who it is after that? It's you. It's the people who belong to this place. There are people who ask of my time that don't always get my time. And here's what I mean by that. There are people that I have the opportunity to go shepherd and lead and speak with and counsel and disciple. And I have to pray, God, do I have the time? Do I have the resources and the margin? Because I know that I am responsible to my wife, my children, and the people who belong to this body. Do you know that when you need me, I don't have to pray about that. I step into it prayerfully. But I know that I'm going to give an account to the people who call this place home. And listen, I get that talking about belonging to a local church, it's not real popular. I get that. I don't expect you guys to say, best message I've ever heard. But when we talk about committing to a group of people, investing, serving, walking alongside of, where there's this expectation that you have as much to play as I do, that's not popular today. And listen, apart from the work of Christ and the power of the Spirit, we want what we want, and we want it on our own terms. And often, listen, that's community without responsibility. And here's what that looks like. If you ask too much of me, I'm out. If you ask me to invest, if you ask me to be known, if you ask me to give up my time, I'm out. There's another popular notion that's pervasive in the consumeristic culture that we live in, is community without commitment. If I decide that I don't like you, you're too annoying, and you're too demanding, you ask too much of me, I'm out. Or how about this one, community without accountability. When someone says something to you that you don't like, you don't want to hear it. Maybe they say truth to you, but they say it without love. And you're out. Listen, that's not belonging. That's using people. Here's what I also know to be true. If you want to live your life looking for ways to be disappointed, frustrated, and outraged, you will easily find it. Go get on Facebook today, and you'll find it. Everybody's jaded. Everybody's offended. And if, when it comes to the nature of the church, if you want to be a critic who's always critiquing, and you want to be skeptic, and you want to be jaded, it'll be easy to do. And I know that firsthand because I have been highly skeptical of the church myself. Listen, to belong to the church is not to be a connoisseur of all the gaps. The last thing that this church needs is experts on all the things that are wrong. Can we be honest about what's wrong? Can we be honest about the gaps? 100%. In fact, one of the things that we did and that we do every year as an eldership team and a leadership team is we talk openly about the gaps in our congregations. Here are the things that we think need addressing. Here are the things that we think, honestly, needs some serious work and attention. And we identify them, and then we don't just identify the problem and leave the problem. What is it going to take for us, by the power of the Spirit, to close the gaps? And we begin to pray towards those things. To belong to the church is to understand, first of all, that we all have flaws, every one of us. And at the cross, every one of us stands on level ground. I gave you this definition of the church about a year ago, and it's just super helpful for me. I'm going to put it back up before you. It says this: the church is a community made up of complicated. Can I get an amen? Listen, you are the complicated. I am the complicated. So before you go pointing the finger, point it at yourself. We are all complicated people. But we're beloved by God, made alive in Jesus, always in process, fearfully and wonderfully made, sometimes falter, often inefficient people. Yet we are called to love, to grow with, and belong to. That's the church. That's the church Jesus died for, and that's the church at the end of Revelation 21 and 22 that will be. Perfect. Will be perfected. All right, I gotta move quickly. What does that look like? So what does that look like at Summit? I want to give you five things very practically. Number one, we commit. We commit. What would it look like for this body of believers to be a priority for you? What would it look like? I think there's a party going on out there. Part of our role as elders is to help you figure that out, by the way. Right? To create on-ramps and opportunities for you to belong. That's part of our role. But you've got to decide You've got to determine whether or not you'll actually belong. We each have a part to play. We each have a role to play in equipping one another. But how can we equip people if those people won't commit? Please think about that. Think about this practically. How can we as leaders equip you if you won't commit? And how can you fulfill your role in equipping if you won't commit? Does this body of believers have a priority in your life? If not, why? And does the why have any biblical reasoning? Maybe I can pose the questions this way for introspection. If there was a problem going on in your life, a hurt, a need, a fear of the unknown of what you had to walk into, a difficulty, if there was a problem going on in your life, is there anyone who is part of this community that you would call? That you would reach out to? I mean, I hope so. And I also recognize this. The answer for some of you in the room is probably no. And probably for a variety of reasons. But can I turn the question for a moment? If somebody in this church family had a problem going on in their life, they were hurt, they had a need, they had a fear, they had a difficulty, would anyone within this body call you? Would they reach out to you? So I hope the introspection there is leading us like, am I known? Maybe the struggle of connecting with people within this local body of believers is the fact that I haven't committed to this local body of believers. Number two, we prioritize. Maybe I could say it this way. Be here with the plans of being here. I don't have to tell you that you and I live in a non-committal culture. We want the highest return on our investment with the least amount of risk on that investment. And I'm just going to say this lovingly, and this is why I gave the caveat at the beginning of why I want to speak boldly. I'm going to say this lovingly and boldly to some of you in this room today. Stop dating the church. Some of you show up only when it's convenient for you. And I'm not talking about just about Sunday. Some of you are in when it's convenient for you to be in. And if you're honest, you would have to conclude that encouraging this body and being encouraged by this body of believers, not a priority for you. And you operate from the premise, if I have time, if I feel like it or I need it, I'll be around. And if that's your premise, there's no wonder. There's no wonder that you would struggle to commit and connect, I should say, connect with this local body of believers. If what you and I are doing this morning, if what we're going to do this week in life groups and life-on-life relationship, if it's about what we get out of it, trust me, we'll see you when we see you. But if it's about what you bring to the body, Ephesians 4, how you are called to encourage and equip the body, lean on others because you are known, then being together with this body of believers will always be a priority for you. Always. We commit, we prioritize. Number three, we serve. I'll ask this question. Are you serving on a ministry team here at Summit from the perspective of how you can invest and connect with other people? There are a myriad of opportunities. Our hospitality team, our audio tech team, our worship team, our Summit Kids team, our S2M team. If this is the place that God is leading you to belong, serving one another for the good of the body is not only good and right, it's necessary. And for some of you in the room that would say, this is my people, this is my place, this is the next step for you. It's serving. Our wonderful team at Connections today. You're going to have a tangible next step. If this is the place that you have been called to, Stop by Connections today, and our team will help you figure out what it looks like for you to serve. You're needed. It's an all play. We all have a role to play inside of this body. Number four, we give all the financial piece. When you hear us talking about serving our community, right, serving our circle as a church family, you hear that we're partnering with helping plant new churches and partnering with existing churches, supporting missionaries and organizations. Just a few weeks ago, we gave away as a church thousands of dollars to church plants and church partners all across the globe. And we did that in the midst of facility expansion, needing money for our place. Why would you do that? Because we want to be a place that releases assets for the mission of God. And the only way that we can continue to be a church that releases assets is our collective generosity. That's the only way. So when you hear us talk about, here's what God's up to at Summit through your faithful generosity, do you hear that and go, I'm thankful to be part of that because I am truly part of that? You and I will feel invested where you truly belong. And where you truly belong, you will always invest, always. And then lastly, we invite. If this is your place, if this is the people to whom God has called you to belong, I just want to ask, would you continue to be intentional about inviting others into our midst who may not have a church family? I know, because I live here too, everybody in the South goes to church. Most people that you ask that question to, especially that from around here, they'll say, yeah, I go to church. And we know they probably don't. They're not invested. If you're currently doing life with someone who doesn't have a church home, they're not invested, they don't belong, would you invite them here? Would you invite them on a Sunday? Would you invite them into your life group? Would you invite them to dinner at your home and talk about, by all means, all that God is doing in your life? Welcome them into a family that's seeking to live out God's design. The only sustainable motivation for truly belonging to a local group of Christ followers is to constantly look to the one who called us to himself, who called you and I to belong to him. And he has never, not once, called us or offered to us conditional community. Not once. That's the reason I can stand before you this morning with boldness and grace and call you to belong to a local body. If it's not at Summit, we will gladly offer you options that we think are healthy and biblical in this geography and beyond. It's not about Summit. But by all means, the last thing we want for you is to show up when it's just convenient for you to just be here. That's the last thing we want for you. Here's my encouragement. For many of you in the room, I want to say thank you. Thank you for belonging. My prayer is that you'll keep investing and equipping this body of believers with joy. God's at work among you. God's at work among us. And I'm thankful for your investment. For others of you, here's my encouragement. Would you take your next step to truly belong? Whatever that might be, committing to this people, to this place, committing to our gathered times, making them a priority, serving, giving, inviting, whatever the case may be. This morning, I want you to consider, where are you? Do I belong here? Am I coming and visiting with the intent to belong? I want to show you a video to close out our time. And just to give you a snapshot of what God is up to through our community groups, through our life groups, that I think you'll find to be an encouragement. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the ways in which you're at work. And I hope this morning is a tangible expression of that, how you're at work in the lives of your people. I'm thankful for Stephanie's story. It is filled with difficulty. It is filled with the fear of unknown. And yet, it is filled with great beauty and hope and wonder because you are in control of her story. You are doing a work in our sister, in the difficulties that she's had to walk through. And it's a joy to know that there are women, there are brothers and sisters in this congregation who are walking with our sister. She's committing to be equipped as she equips others in this body. And so we pray for Stephanie, God, that as she's made this commitment to you and to our elders and to this body, that she would walk faithfully with you. There would be other men and women that would help her do the same. And that she would continue to grow in her giftedness, grow in her desire to faithfully steward all that you've given to her for the good of this body. We're thankful for her. Thankful for the ways that you're at work in her, the way you've gifted her, the way you are taking those experiences and those circumstances and you're using them for her good and your glory. God, be with our sister, encourage her. And I pray that Stephanie would be among many within this congregation that will continue to love and serve this body faithfully. And for those in this room who need to take next steps, pray that this morning the Spirit of God is speaking to folks in this room who need to decide, is this my place? If not, then where might that be? And if the next step is in and within this body, if it's committing, if it's prioritizing, if it's serving, if it's giving, if it's inviting, whatever the case may we begin to see folks take next steps, all of which is for the good of the body and the glory of your mission. We love you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.